Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and I can't start today's show without speaking about NeoPost and their IS-280 postage meter. So think about all the time small businesses spend to process and send mail and packages. You know, if we spend just 15 minutes a day doing it, that's more than 7 full days a year focused on mailing and shipping. And that's just crazy. I recently spoke to NeoPost, and they told me that one of the smartest things to start doing today to save time and money is to use the IS-280 postage meter to handle all our mail processing without ever leaving my office. So here's how it works. The IS-280 weighs and then automatically tells me what postage amount my mail or package needs. Not only do I pay 6% less to send first-class mail, but time's also saved by not having to run to the post office in Easton for postage. The IS-280 allows you to spend more time managing business and less time managing mail. Now, here's the great part. For a limited time, our listeners can get 6 months free by using the promo code FRANCHISE. All you have to do is visit neopost280.com/franchise and enter your zip code to see if you qualify, followed by the promo code FRANCHISE to lock in 6 months free. That's neopost280.com/franchise.
Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 11 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Bob Phillips and Keith Goldman of California Tortilla, a fast casual Mexican-inspired restaurant. And falling in love with the brand's bold flavors and fun laid-back attitude, the duo felt the concept would be perfect for a world they were familiar with. Franchising. And we're going to talk to Bob and Keith about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity. Are you looking for a unique and lucrative franchise opportunity? If so, take a look at Stone Coat. With a patented process which creates a true stone finish on almost any wall or ceiling, Stone Coat is a true game-changing product in the multi-billion dollar construction industry. Stone Coat is applied faster, cleaner, and cheaper than conventional quarried stone, which saves both time and money. With advantages in remodel and new construction of both residential and commercial projects, Stone Coat is a true crossover product. The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity provides a low startup cost, low operating expenses, comprehensive training, ongoing support, and no royalty payments. For more information on the Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity, go to www.stonecoatfranchise.com. That's www.stonecoatfranchise.com or call us at 972-380-2700. That's 972-380-2700.
Hi, this is Connie McDermott, Administrative Assistant for Franchise Interviews, LLC, and you are listening to Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 11 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Bob Phillips and Keith Goldman of California Tortilla, a fast casual Mexican-inspired restaurant. And falling in love with the brand's bold flavors and fun laid-back attitude, the duo felt the concept would be perfect for a world they were familiar with, franchising. Hi, Bob. Hi, Keith. Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
To be on the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure is mine. We would like to ask our guests where you're calling from this morning, Bob and Keith.
So we're calling from Potomac, Maryland.
Oh, fantastic.
And okay, how's the weather office? There?
That's great. How's the weather there today?
It is freezing.
Well, we're not that far from you. We're in eastern Pennsylvania, Bob and Keith. So I think we have a pretty much a similar climate, and I think we're expecting more snow here today. So it just doesn't want to seem to end.
Yeah. Well.
So it's yeah, but it's great to have you both on the show. You know, I've been following your concept for a while now. You know, and I was really what I liked about California Tortilla was really the story of how both of you, you know, kind of came together, because I kind of like thought there was like this synergy there. Maybe you could talk a little bit, you know, about your backgrounds and then, you know, a little bit about the history of California Tortilla.
Sure, Marty. So I purchased my first restaurant franchise when I was 24 years old, and I just learned the franchise business and learned business in general. And over the years, opened many franchise restaurants. In 2001, Keith and I got together and opened a concept called Ranch One. It's a grilled chicken concept. We were operating the restaurants. We were, you know, doing great. And we were looking for opportunities. We were looking
right.
for grow our business. And there was this popular Mexican restaurant in Bethesda called California Tortilla. They were lined out the door.
Wow.
You know. We were customers, Keith and I. We thought, God, this would be a great opportunity. So we approached the owners about opening a third unit in Potomac, Maryland. And we opened, and it was wildly successful. Sort of giving you the Reader's Digest version.
Right, right.
Anyway, Keith, you want to add to that, how we met?
Well, I kind of followed a track similar to Bob in a different area. I had my own first restaurant when I was 23 in Charlottesville, Virginia, and originally from Bethesda, Maryland, same area.
Right.
That we're now. And we just kind of our paths, you know, intersected. I think it was in 99 or when we started.
I was operating a concept called Broadway Pizza.
Oh, okay.
Keith took a brief hiatus from the restaurant business and was working for a food service distributor.
Right.
And Keith was actually my my sales representative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I did that actually when I had my first child, just to be able to spend some time to enjoy that, because working in the restaurant business doesn't tend to lend much time on your hands for that kind of stuff. But I was certainly itching back into a full-blown operations setting. So when me and Bob met and started talking about doing this Ranch One together, it was an easy decision. So that's kind of how we started our relationship.
Yeah, I remember a time when we opened our second Broadway Pizza, and we, you know, it was very, very, very busy, and we were just, to use a restaurant term, in the weeds. And Keith came along and ended up basically running our kitchen for us, which no food service distributor ever did. And it was an instant bond. You know, we bring different skills to the business, and we've had a great partnership ever since.
And I think that's been part of this success, hasn't it, you know, Bob and Keith, you know, is that, you know, you, both of you do have these different skills, and, you know, and you seem to get along with each other very well, you know, and it kind of reminded me of, you know, when I was reading about the story, Bob and Keith, if you ever seen the movie The Founder, you know, it reminded me of Ray Kroc going into the McDonald's, you know, it had like similarities to it, you know, where the restaurant was crowded, you know, and you, the light bulb went off and you said, you know, this could be really big, you know, and I could take this concept and I could expand it across the country. And that's what I really, I loved about the story. Maybe you could talk a little bit about California Tortilla, you know, as you know, how do you typically describe it to a prospective franchisee, you know, when someone expresses interest in your franchise?
So first we tell them about the concept. So that's the first step, you know, and we really that it's a restaurant. We're not a basic Mexican restaurant, as you had mentioned. You know, we fuse flavors all around the world. But, you know, we try to instill upon the prospect that you need to have a passion for the restaurant business. Consumers have choices, lots of choices today. So our food has to be craveable. It has to be great.
Right.
And, you know, so we really try to make sure that the candidate understands that they're going to be in the restaurant business. Then we take them on a tour of the restaurant, and what we're really trying to impress upon them is that we're basically a scratch cook kitchen. We make all our salsa, guacamole, queso, all our salad dressings and sauces, you know, from scratch each day in the restaurant. So we don't like any surprises. If a business relationship is going to work out, everybody has to go in with eyes open. And, you know, when we're describing the concept to prospective franchisees, if they walk into one of our corporate restaurants, everything's running like a top.
Yeah.
You know, and you could get this false sense of security that, oh, this is easy. I could just show up and,
you know,
but we want franchisees to be successful. And obviously, so, you know, we impress upon them that it's a restaurant business. Then we discuss our culture, which is probably the most important part. We talk about how we treat our employees, our vendors, our customers, our commitment to doing the right thing and to never lose a customer. And I summarize by saying that California Tortilla, it's a great concept. We have a loyal following. We have great unit economics. If you place one in a great location and you operate it well, you're going to be successful. So that's sort of the script. You know, obviously we want to make sure that the franchisee understands what they're getting into.
Right. It seems like there was also, you know, there is this the part of the culture is also towards quality, Bob and Keith. You know, I teach marketing for Kaplan University, and you know, last week we were talking about how to reduce cost of goods sold, and you know, but it doesn't seem like that happens at California Tortilla. You know, quality seems to be really important. In other words, you use the highest quality avocados, highest quality tomatoes and peppers and things like that, and that seems to be really very important to you, that you will not sacrifice on quality, will you?
No, that's critical. I think, you know, we also try to make sure that the potential franchisees understand why the fast casual category evolved and why it's so popular.
Right.
I mean, it really evolved from the people got used to fast food for its convenience, and nothing has changed there. People's lifestyles still demand convenience and speed. But what people really had a need for was a healthier food and something they could eat in a fast setting that they felt better about, like they didn't feel guilty about, you know, 30 minutes later. So that's why the fast casual category evolved. It's a method of providing a quick service setting, but by using all fresh. And I mean, you have to be passionate and committed to fresh food if you really want to compete.
Sure.
In the fast casual category. So we don't have a freezer, as you probably know. We do spend a lot of time specifying ingredients, making sure they're high quality. We get a produce delivery every day. We get fresh proteins two or three times a week. So, you know, the products are clean, they're natural. That's what the demand has been for in the fast casual category. And you only really, if you know how to run the business properly and you have good controls and systems in place, you can offer that increase in quality and freshness to the customer for only a couple bucks more than fast food, and that's a tremendous value.
Yeah, and I thought that added to the culture too as well, Keith. You know, I was watching some of the videos, you know, that you have online, you know, and you know, just watching how, you know, you'll make your product in a small batch, you know, and customers can actually see the products being made. There was one example where I saw, you know, the woman cutting avocados, and it was amazing how she was able to cut them so fast, because it takes me forever to do that. You know, she really had it down to a science. But, you know, all of that really does add to the culture, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And everyone has to buy into that. It's a lot easier to show up every morning and make enough food in 2 or 3 hours that'll last you the whole day. That's not too difficult. It's easy, and you know, you can take it easy the rest of the day. All you got to do is serve the food. But it's much more, it's a much better product when you make guacamole 4 times a day and salsa twice a day. And, you know, that's the freshness and the flavor just pops when you make it in small
right.
batches. And that's what we train our people to do, and that's what we train our franchisees to do. And they have to embrace that as part of the quality that we aim to provide.
That's terrific.
It's not enough to have good ingredients come in your back. You have to handle
right.
them properly so that you maintain the quality.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, California tortilla, you know, I mean, you're not just, of course, competing with your direct competitors, but of course you have indirect competitors, you know, because you're competing for that, you know, lunch hour or dinner hour, you know, so you really do have a lot of competition, and that's certainly a great way of separating you from everyone else that's out there, doesn't it?
I think people appreciate the difference. They can taste it, and
right.
as long as we know, they understand.
Absolutely. How are you using technology today from when, you know, you first got involved in this, Bob and Keith? You know, how does technology play a role in California Tortilla today?
Well, I can tell you one thing. Technology changes, you know, it seems like every day, and it's a huge part of our business. For example, online ordering has become a very popular part of our business. We have a California Tortilla app. And our loyalty program is based on that. We use technology in our marketing. We can identify customers, potential customers, and communicate with them. It's
right.
It's truly amazing. We just switched our POS system to be able to better take advantage of not only the technologies that exist today, but the ones that are not yet that do not yet exist today, but we know are coming. So it's an exciting time, a lot of change.
That's terrific. How it seems like there's always seems to be growth, you know, and following, you know, these numbers in your industry, Bob and Keith, it always seems like it continues to grow. Are there any hard numbers as far as, you know, where you're at in the industry?
Not sure about the industry. I mean, for years we were very, I'm trying to think of the right word is, cautious. In our growth, in terms of growing in concentric circles around the DC
right.
market, you know, we wanted to make sure the systems were in place. We wanted to make sure the look was right and the technology was right. So we have just begun selling franchises outside of our core market, and it's been received
right.
incredibly well.
That's terrific. Here's a trick question. What's one of your favorites when you go into your own restaurants, Bob and Keith? I mean, do you have a particular favorite or something that you typically always steer towards when you go into a California tortilla? Because I know you go into a lot of them.
Well, so for me, it's a toss-up between the honey lime burrito and the Southwest chicken salad. With honey lime dressing. So you can tell I'm a honey lime fanatic. Keith, what's yours?
Well, it's interesting because I'm very I have phases, so I'll get really into one item and I'll eat it every time for like 6 months, and then I'll kind of burn out on it and move on to something else.
Right.
Right now, I'm working through the street tacos, so that's my latest craze.
It's not really fair to ask this question because he's created
it's
everything.
Not.
It's
right,
which is
exactly.
Your kid.
Right.
You know?
It's not a fair question, and that's why I always ask it. You know, it's fantastic. Has anything stood out? I mean, since you got involved in California Tortilla, one of the questions we also like to ask our guests is, you know, what's been one of the most interesting things that's happened to you, you know, since launching the franchise concept? And Keith, I'll start with you this time.
Well, you know, it's quite a transition when you go from developing the first two or three stores where we were involved in the operations, you know, that was it. We didn't do anything else
right.
other than run the restaurants and determine the best way to do things and develop recipes and systems and controls. And then you get to the point where you're comfortable enough where you think it's easy to replicate and ready to go
right.
for other people to do. And then you start getting other people involved that you're not as familiar with. And over time, you have to really understand people and where they're coming from and what their personalities are and how they fit and don't fit with the franchise model. And then, you know, over time, working with people, quote-unquote, outsiders that are now insiders, and you're trying to give them the tools and the passion they need to be as successful as we were when we opened our first few restaurants.
Right. That's interesting. How about you, Bob?
That's the hard part. It's not as easy as it is. You really have to do a lot of work with the people that you bring on until they're successful.
That's interesting. How about yourself, Bob? Anything stand out over the course of time?
Yeah, I guess in similar vein of Keith's comments, I think that the, you know, we think of ourselves as restaurateurs, and you know, so as a restaurateur, our customer is the person that comes into the California Tortilla restaurant, buys a meal, and you know, we try to wow them.
Right.
As a franchisor, our customers are our franchisees.
Right.
And so that's been an interesting evolution. You know, 99.9% of the time, everybody's interests are aligned. But it's you have to step back and say, you know, well, okay, which customer are we serving today?
Right,
and
right.
I want it to be every customer, you know, every constituency.
Sure.
But I think that's been the most interesting revelation or development is, you know, how do you, we know how to coach and train our restaurant employees. You know, we've been doing it for years.
Right.
The tech you use to motivate and coach and educate a franchisee or a franchisee's employees, or, you know, it's a different approach.
It's interesting, and you know, doing this show 11 years now, Bob and Keith, how often I've heard that response, you know, is that shift in mindset, you know, is the shift from, you know, serving the customers into now, you know, the franchisees, you know, in essence are also your customers, you know, and it's not as easy as one would think, you know, there are a lot of challenges to that. So I think that's interesting, you know, and in speaking of franchisees and you mentioned some of them, Bob, I think in talking to you, what types of characteristics do both of you gentlemen look for in taking on a new franchisee? Does anything stand out that you specifically look for?
You know, there's a couple of things that we look for. The first, obviously, they have to be financially qualified.
Right.
Getting into a business, a restaurant business, or it could be any franchise, if someone's not adequately capitalized, they could be fantastically talented, but they would have to be incredibly lucky to succeed.
Right.
So we make sure that they're financed properly, and that's usually an easy box to check. You know, then we look for experience. Our ideal candidate has owned and run restaurants before, and not just any restaurant, but a restaurant with a certain complexity to food prep and timing and a lot of employees. So we look for that, but that's not by any means a must-have. It's just a plus in the column. You know, we look for business experience. Have they demonstrated the ability to grow sales in some prior life, whether it was a business they owned or they operated? And then last, you know, we look, it's this is probably the most important, it's a cultural fit. You know, are they passionate about customer service? Are they passionate about quality? Are they passionate about their ability to build a team and to lead a team? And, you know, those that gets to be, I mean, that's probably the most critical thing.
Right, most important.
For franchising, and it's probably the hardest thing to ascertain. But those are the things that we look for.
That's interesting. What is the training like then, Bob and Keith? I mean, once you decide that, you know, you do like them and you feel that they are a fit for California Tortilla, how does it work? I mean, do they typically come out to Maryland then for training? Is that where it takes place?
They do. We have a training store in Olney, Maryland, where our training team is hard at work every day. And the training, it's a 20-day training program. Some do it usually in somewhere between 3 and 4 weeks. And it's a pretty intensive program. The first half of the training focuses on position training. So you actually learn what the crew members do in every space in the restaurant, from prepping to cooking to serving, POS. And then the second half of the training is management, how to you know, open and close a California Tortilla, and what kind of what's our cultural approach to managing employees and all of our systems and financial controls to help you maximize profits.
That's great. What is a typical day like for a California Tortilla franchisee? And the question could be for either or both, Keith or Bob.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we have, depends. We have lots of single or one or two unit operators, and we have a few big operators. If you're a owner-operator, you usually arrive at the store around 8 in the morning, and you, soon thereafter you start receiving your produce and your food, and your crew shows up, and you start production. Pretty much everything is, you start all over every day in terms of producing the food. You get, you know, we have controls and systems, and the way we like to envision is that you could call any store at 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning. They should be doing the same thing, whether that's the time to start the chips or whatever. Everybody should be doing that at 10 o'clock. And then usually by 10:30, you should be ready to serve, you know, the customers, and everything should be hot and fresh. And during the meal period, it's all hands on deck. Everybody's out front, and the owner's out there usually waiting to receive customers or taking up a position. And then after lunch, we get back to prepping for dinner and starting the whole thing over again. You know, we usually always have some sort of marketing activity going on, whether it's a promotion or whether it's an LTO that we're, you know, promoting, or loyalty programs. So there's a lot of marketing activities. Spirit nights every Tuesday night or Wednesday night at most of our stores. You know, getting involved in the community, being involved with the school systems and Chamber of Commerce, all that. So, you know, if you're an owner and operator and you're really effective, then you're in the store a lot, managing your crew and receiving your customers, and maybe in the afternoon you're out in the community trying to involve yourself with activities and endearing yourself to the local community so that there's opportunities out there that you can take advantage of.
Would you say your customers, I mean, in describing your customers, Bob and Keith, I mean, I imagine, you know, it's really huge, you know, within the millennial market, but I imagine it's also family-oriented as well, would you say?
We have a very diverse clientele. Who's in our restaurant is probably dictated more by where the restaurant is located than by our
good point.
So, you know, we have urban locations where, you know, you'll see, we call them the badged employee. You know, they're working at some building. They need a badge to get in and out. And everybody online has a badge around their neck. And we're in suburban shopping centers. We get a lot of families, young children.
Yeah.
Our college campuses, it's exclusively millennial. So it varies. I mean, our food is appealing to a fairly wide, diverse clientele.
That's terrific. The majority of our listeners, I was mentioning earlier, Bob and Keith, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. I mean, most of them have it in their mind. They listen to franchise interviews because they want to get into franchising. From everything you've learned up to this point, because you've been doing this for a while now, what advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise? Because as you both know, I mean, there's a lot out there today, and once someone starts the process of looking for a franchise, it could be a little bit confusing because there's like there's opportunities out there. So from everything you've learned, what advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise?
Great question. So I guess the first bit of advice would be do your homework. It's a big investment, not only in capital, but in time. You know, so do your homework. Review the FDD. Talk to existing franchisees, and I mean as many as you can get. Go visit them. I mean, if you're going to, in the case of California Tortilla, if you're going to spend $550,000 to open a restaurant, you know, it pays to go talk to our franchisees. Really make sure that you're adequately capitalized. And, you know, I pointed that out in terms of what we look for in a franchisee. The same holds for a franchisee. I mean, do a pro forma and don't put rose-colored glasses. You know, what if you do the system average? What if you do a little less than the system average? What if you do a lot less than the system average? Like, understand and really do your homework. And then I guess the last thing it would be make sure that the brand you pick is a good cultural fit. I mean, that do you like the product?
Right.
You're going to be out there, like Keith mentioned, you know, 3-4 hours a day just marketing your product to the community. If you don't like it, it's hard to do that.
Of course.
So you've got to really
of course.
Make sure that you like what it is you're getting into and that your culture aligns with the franchisor that you're going to ultimately partner with.
Yeah, I think that's well said. What would you add to that, Keith?
I would add just to make sure you understand what a franchise is and that your personality is conducive to being a franchisee, meaning that the system, the success of the system is how closely you execute what is prescribed. You know, if you're a highly creative person, if you're just coming out of culinary school and you want to create things every day, then franchise isn't right for you. Maybe you need your place or something that offers you more creativity. But if a franchise is a system. You have to trust in the system, believe in the system, then you have to execute according to plan. And if your personality is like that, where you just like to follow a winning blueprint and that's what drives you and that's what a good fit for your personality, then a franchise is probably a good fit for you.
Yeah, and those are usually the most successful franchisees, aren't they, Keith and Bob? You know, is the ones that follow the system or that follow the blueprints.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of ways to be creative when you're following a system. I mean, you can be creative in how you hire and source staff and how you market the business. But generally, our most successful franchisees are not creative when it comes to things like, you know, inventory levels and and labor scheduling and food preparation. I mean, there's a documented way to do it, and the successful ones just follow the plan.
So I could ask both of you the next question, as you know, the founders of the company. I mean, where do you see California Tortilla maybe 3 to 5 years down the road, if you could look into a crystal ball, Bob and Keith?
Oh, I'd love to see it all over the United States. Like I said, we just began an expansion program outside of our core market, and it's been very well. So, yeah, I'd love to see continued growth. I'll temper that with the commitment we have to quality and to never losing a customer. So I want to grow as quickly as possible without losing those attributes.
That's terrific. What's the best way for our listeners, Bob and Keith, as far as getting more information on California Tortilla as a franchise and, of course, the product itself? Are there any websites that they can go to get more information?
CaliforniaTortilla.com. It's all there. We'd
love easy enough.
Anybody.
That's fair. And it's a great website, you know, and there's a lot of great information on there, you know. And I appreciate both of you coming on the show today because I really think California Tortilla has a really great franchise concept. And I'd already like to invite you back next year as you continue to grow because I think it's just a terrific franchise opportunity.
Thank you, Marty. Thanks for having us on your show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This has been my pleasure, Bob and Keith. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Coming up on segment two, you're going to hear what every franchisepreneur needs to know before buying a franchise. We're going to play a clip from our popular Great Quotes in Franchising podcast right here on Franchise Interviews.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822. Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Today's Great Quote in Franchising is being brought to you by
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews many years now, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Nick Freeman, who is the founder of College Hunks Hauling and Junk and Moving Franchise Opportunity. And Nick said something really quite brilliant on our show that we haven't heard in over a decade of doing Franchise Interviews. We started speaking about the four F's of franchising, and interesting enough, we ended up with five F's of franchising as we were doing the interview with Nick. And, you know, in marketing, we talk about the four P's of marketing, which is product, price, promotion, and place. So I thought this was really brilliant what Nick said. So here we go with Nick Freeman, the founder of College Hunks Hauling and Junk Moving Franchise Opportunity. What the majority of our listeners, we call them, Nick, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. What types of characteristics do you look for in your franchisees?
You know, what I like to say is there's four F's when considering a franchise, which is also, I guess, starts with a letter F. So, you know, there's four F's that come out of a franchise. And I think this is what a prospective franchise should think of when they're considering what franchise they want to pursue. And this is, quite frankly, I think what franchisors should consider when they're evaluating a prospective franchisee. The first F is fit, You know, do they fit? In other words, do they have transferable skills that can make them effective at this business? Have they done anything in their prior professional or personal lives that would make them be successful in this type of business? The second piece is the family side. In other words, does their family support them in them pursuing this endeavor, whether it's their husband or wife or kids or parents? You know, do they believe in them? Because you don't want things to get in their inner circle to say, I told you so. You want them to, you know, kind of cheer them on to get through it. The financial piece is important. In other words, are they capitalized to be able to invest in the opportunity, and do they have realistic financial expectations? And then the last F is the fun factor. You know, can we have fun working with this individual? You know, franchising is very much like a partnership, even though that's not typically called that. So you got to have, you know, an alignment of vision and values to be able to enjoy working together. So that's really what we look for. You know, we want people that believe in the secret sauce that we've already developed. Mm-hmm. We don't want somebody to come tell us that they think it should be done differently. We want them to tell us that they believe in what we've created. And sure, we would, you know, want to continuously improve and encourage ideas, but not, you know, we want folks that believe in the system and are going to execute the system rather than trying to shortcut success by doing it, you know, doing it their own way. And I think that's, you know, really no different in our system than any other franchise model that is going to be successful long term. They need to really take into account those factors.
That's great, Nick. We have this great quotes in franchising podcast. Anytime we hear, you know, Michael Gerber's been in there a couple times, but we're going to put that one in there because I haven't heard that in over a decade. And I think that's great advice to our listeners. It's really fantastic because it's true. I mean, you could really, your business, you could teach to anybody, couldn't you? I mean, pretty much, you know, it's interesting in putting those factors in there, you know, like family support, you know, and even fun. I haven't heard that, you know, but it should be an enjoyable business. And, you know, because it is a stressful situation for the customers, I guess you got to be able to put a smile on your customer's face, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, you know, there's over 3,000 franchise opportunities out there. So, mm-hmm. you know, what's going to separate one from the other? It's got to be something that you can enjoy. And I guess I'll grab another F out of there. I'm on a roll here. Fulfillment. You know, is it something that you know, we're going to be fulfilled doing day in and day out? Because I think franchising is a lot like a gym membership. You know, if you join the gym, you've got fitness goals. You're getting access to all types of equipment, personal trainers, coaches, workout groups, but you still got to go and show up and do the work. So if you buy a franchise, you're getting access to the business model in a box. You're getting access to trainers, coaches, you know, fellow franchisees that you can, you know, hold each other accountable with, but you still got to show up and put in the effort to execute that business model. So that's where I think those factors come into play.
Once you decide that, you know, you do like them, you know, and they like you, Nick, you know, and there is a fit, you know, what is the training like? I mean, do they typically come to Florida for training? How does that work? If you'd like to hear that whole interview with Nick Freeman of the College Hunks Hauling and Junk Moving Franchise Opportunity, all you have to do is go to franchiseinterviews.com, go to our Franchise Interviews by Category page, and then go to our Home Repair and Improvements page, and you'll be able to listen to that whole show with Nick Freeman. It was really a fantastic interview. It was great to finally have Nick on the show. And lastly, we'd just like to thank everyone for making this podcast such a big hit. It's hard to imagine we've been doing it now over 10 years, and it's just amazing to see where the podcast has gone. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, sponsored by Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.